Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 172 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to focus mostly on the girls' state basketball tournament tonight. Even though Ankeny Centennial has been eliminated from the Class 5A field, we'll be talking to one of the Jaguars' star players later, and we will also have a special guest from Coldwell Banker on, as well as one of the standouts from the Ankeny boys' team that earned a trip to next week's state tournament with a win over Waukee last night. I'm also going to be talking to two of the head coaches from the CIML team still remaining in the girls' Class 5A tournament. Beginning with my first guest, he is the head coach of the 7th-ranked Valley squad, and he has guided the Tigers to a 19-5 record. His team will meet number 6 Waterloo West in the Class 5A semifinals on Thursday morning. He is Joe Segrist. Joe, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
Thanks, man. Yeah, good.
Well, hey, congratulations on getting your 200th win on Monday. Your team opened the tournament with a 49-44 victory over number 2 Des Moines Roosevelt, and that ended the Rough Riders' 19-game winning streak. You know, I'm sure you were happy to reach that milestone, but I'm guessing you were even more happy just to advance, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I was thrilled for our kids. You know, we're a pretty young team this year with only one senior, and our momentum kind of started last year with a regional final loss up in Cedar Falls in overtime, and I just am really proud of how this team has gotten better ever since then.
Well, that was a talented Roosevelt team that you beat. I had seen them beat Ankeny in the regional final. Of course, Ankeny was the first team that handed you a loss this season. So what was the key to beating the Rough Riders?
Well, we knew they had quickness and needed to do a good job on their guards and penetration. I thought our length in our 1-3-1 zone could give them some trouble. And fortunately, our game plan never had to waver. We kept the 1-3-1 extended on them and did a nice job defending them. And made enough shots in the end and knocked down about 71% of our free throws. So that was crucial.
Well, you guys never trailed in the game, so obviously you got off to a good start. You eventually built an 11-point lead early in the third quarter, and then you're able to hold them off down the stretch. The one senior you mentioned, Meredith Reeker, she scored a game-high 20 points. And your sophomore post player, Elise Yeager, she came up huge with 14 points, 17 rebounds, and 5 steals. So, boy, those two kids really played lights out, didn't they?
They did, and we've been going through both of those two all year. They have really led us, I mean, starting with Meredith. It's really tough when you have to be the lone senior on a team and lead. You know, we always talk about our seniors have that sense of urgency that, you know, they lose in the tournament and their career's over in high school. And she's a Division II Missouri Western commit, and she'll play more basketball, but she has put her heart and soul into trying to get us a state championship.
Well, yeah, you've had a lot of success in your 10 years at Valley. You won state titles in 2017 and 2019, but those teams were led by all-state players like Hannah Fuller and Zoe Young. You know, this year's team is so young and it's a lot more balanced because Rieger and Yeager are your leading scorers and they average about 12, 13 points per game. You know, so at the beginning of the season, did you think this team was capable of being where you're at now?
I did. When we talked to our assistants, we said, you know, the state all around is pretty young this year. There's tons of talent, but it's younger talent. There's not as many seniors that are leading their teams. I mean, next year and the year after are going to be loaded with teams that are very talented. But we thought overall the state was kind of wide open after Johnston, and it's kind of stuck true to that throughout the year with teams, you know, knocking everybody off. We entered with 5 losses, but 2 of those were to Johnston. So I felt good about us, and we've just gotten better each and every day, and practice has been valuable for us.
Well, after you guys won on Monday, I know you watched the following game between Centennial and Waterloo West very closely because you knew you'd be playing the winner. And I know West was the lower-seeded team, but I think a lot of people around the state were aware of how much talent they have. Were you surprised at all by the outcome of that game?
Well, you know, I knew Centennial would do a great job defensively. But Waterloo West just has tons of length and talent themselves that – I knew it would be a good game. I think Centennial had some open shots and good looks that didn't go down. And Waterloo West had some kids that weren't their top kids step up and make shots. So I thought it was one of those toss-up games just like ours kind of was.
Well, that was the first time that I've seen this West team play in person. Boy, I was really impressed. I know Johnston's very good, but I'm not sure that there's a better duo in the state than Haley Polk and Sahara Williams. You know, those two kids can get their own shot about any time they want, and that makes them very tough to defend. You know, you guys got your work cut out for you tomorrow, don't you?
We do. We're going to have to do an excellent job on those two. I mean, the goal is going to be to get the ball out of Polk's hands and try to, trap others and keep Williams off the glass and do a good job closing out on her. Yeah, it's going to be a tall challenge, tall task, but I just love the way our kids are playing. They're playing together. They're playing hard. They're hitting big shots, so it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a great matchup, and length versus length, and it's going to be fun tomorrow. I'm excited about it.
Well, yeah, that West front line is so big. They got, 6'3" Brooklyn Smith and Sierra Moore, 6'1", and Williams, I think, is listed at 5'11", but she plays a lot bigger than that. So, I mean, your big kids are going to, they got their work cut out for them.
They do. We do. And it's going to be the biggest team we've faced outside of Johnston, but very different from Johnston. They've got more kids, in that 6-foot range rather than just the gym fee there. But it's going to be a challenge, but I think we're going to be up to it. So I'm excited.
Well, of course, one way to offset that size is to play some zone, and you guys do play a lot of zone. So, I mean, that's one way to kind of control that size, isn't it?
It is. That's part of our, with the end in mind and the Johnston being the best team, try to do some zone type stuff to neutralize the strength inside. So I think we can do some things. I don't think they've seen, talking about Waterloo West, a 1-3-1 like we're going to throw at them tomorrow. We'll see how they respond. And we've got some backup plans ready, but I think our 1-3-1 will do pretty well tomorrow.
Well, of course, with Polk and Williams, I'm sure most coaches try to make somebody other than those two kids beat you, because, you don't want to give those guys too many open looks, do you?
No, not at all. And we did some things this week at practice, these last 2 days, just kind of walked through some things, more the mental side of it rather than, trying to keep their legs fresh for tomorrow. Just really try to game plan and say you've got to shade to their sides, because we want someone else taking the shots, not 14 and 32, If we can force the others to take shots, we'll live with that. We don't want 14-32 to beat us.
Well, of course, Moore really stepped up against Centennial with 17 points and 10 rebounds. She was 3 of 4. She was 3 of 4 from behind the arc, and where she had been shooting like 19%, I think, from three. When a role player steps up like that, I mean, that just makes them that much more tougher, doesn't it?
Oh, that's what tournaments are all about. We talk about, on our team, playing above your line. If we have three kids play above their line of the five kids in the game, you're going to win that game, and you're going to have a chance to play for a state championship. So our goal is to have that third player step up. We think Meredith and Elise will get theirs tomorrow. We're looking for that type of effort that they got out of her tomorrow, and I think if we get that, we're going to move on.
Well, Joe, I know you guys aren't looking beyond tomorrow's game, but if you are able to advance, you're going to have a quick turnaround for Friday's championship game. The winner of your game will play either number one Johnston or number four Pleasant Valley for the title. Johnston, of course, is trying to become the first team to ever go undefeated in Class 5A, and you guys know how good they are because you've lost to them twice by an average of 24 points. So how do you see that matchup? Do you give the Spartans a chance?
They've been shooting the ball so well that I do, and they've got some length on their team, so I think they do have a chance. They're going to have to shoot the ball really, really well and do a good job defending Jimfy. And Gosling's the one that always kills us, and, the senior that shoots the ball so well. So, looking ahead, if we were to make them, it's a familiar opponent. We've lost to them twice this year. So if we play them, you've got to neutralize those two. They go through those two first. And I thought Dowling had a great game plan against them. Trying to let others beat them, but they just have enough other firepower that I think they'll move on unless Pleasant Valley knocks down tons of shots.
Well, I'm sure your girls would love another crack at Johnston. You would too, wouldn't you?
I would. It's kind of drawn some similarities if we were to get by Waterloo West, which isn't going to be easy, to 2019 when Southeast Polk beat us twice in the regular season, and then we avenged that in the state championship game. So we'd love that opportunity. We know they are, an undefeated number one team for a reason. but we'd love that opportunity.
Well, hey, Joe, before I let you go, I just wanted to get a quick comment from you about one of your assistant coaches. DeMond Register did a nice feature story on Bert Hansen, who joined your staff a couple years ago after being a longtime head boys and girls basketball coach at Indianola, where, of course, he had a very successful career. You know, what's it like to have a guy like him on your bench?
You know, he makes me better each and every day. I said that, you know, when I got interviewed by the Register. He is the type of guy that makes each one of the players and the coaches in his program better each and every day. With all of his experience, his care for kids, his care for his coaches, people, just relationships, he's been very instrumental in the success that we've had. And I'm very, very grateful that he joined us 4 years ago.
Well, hey, Joe, I'll let you go. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker. We've had her on the podcast before, and she even sold a house to my wife and me back in 1999. So it's good to see her again. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me here in the office. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you were down at the girls' state tournament last night. So your alma mater is playing, is that right?
Yeah, actually, I had the opportunity. I have a family member who's playing for Glenwood High School, and they beat Bondurant. So the Blue Jays, sorry for them, but kind of excited to see Southwest Iowa represent. So they're playing again tomorrow evening. So
who do they got next?
Oh, shoot. I guess I'm not quite sure.
Oh, that's all right if you don't know. But all right. Well, we have you on here to talk about some real estate. I know some of the properties we have in the office here, we have some signs of the different places that that you deal with here with MJ Properties. So I'll just let you talk about the different units that you're working with.
Yeah, well, I guess our primary focus right now has been Northwest Ankeny. Most people have been kind of looking for lots, and kind of proud to say that we've got a majority of them up on the northwest side in Centennial Estates. Currently, we've got two plats, and like I said, a little bit of everything from the flat larger lots to even walkout capabilities. So anyway, we're ranging from $75,000 on up to $99,000 is our most expensive, but we've got a hot lot out there right now that's, I think, 0.7. And then also some half-acre lots up there in Centennial Estates, too. So yeah, most of our lots, or all of our lots, are tied to a custom build. People see us advertise them out there just so they're aware. But yeah, we're the builder, MJ Properties, too. So like to get people in and collaborate on building their dream home.
Well, I know the market obviously slowed down, you know, during the height of COVID, but have things picked up now then?
It certainly has picked up. We've had some pressure points. Obviously, people are watching what lumber's doing, and that's been very volatile in terms of pricing. But you know, the colder months, the slowdown, COVID didn't stop people really from the planning stages, and now we're starting to see some of that come together.
Well, if anybody's interested, you know, in seeing any of those lots or taking a look at them, you know, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They can certainly reach out. They can reach me on my cell phone, text 515-975-3735, or Coldwell Banker at rhondadix.com. Or rhondadixrealestate.com.
All right, Rhonda. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in, and I appreciate it. We'll probably have you on again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks,
right,
Dan.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a senior guard for the Centennial girls team, and she led the Jaguars to a 20-4 record this season. She scored 23 points on Monday as Centennial closed out its season with a 67-59 loss to Waterloo West in the Class 5A quarterfinals. She's been named the Class 5A West All-District team, and she'll be taking her talents to Missouri Western next season. She's Cleo Murray. Cleo, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Of course. I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. We've had a couple days now to digest the loss. You know, I'm sure you've reflected back on some of the things that transpired during that game. You obviously had a very good game and did everything that you could to get your team over the hump. You know, what sticks out in your mind when you think back about that game?
Right. I think most of all, I think it sticks out how hard my team played. I think we left it all out on there on the court, and, you know, sometimes that's not always enough, but I think Monday was a really good game, probably one of our best games of the season, and we played really well.
Well, I know Coach DeYoung always does a great job of preparing you guys, and he had told me how much talent Waterloo West had, you know, and just from their scoring averages, I knew Haley Polk and Sahara Williams obviously had to be great players, you know, but they were even better than I expected them to be. Now, did you ever play against them before in AAU or anything? Did you know how good they were?
Yeah, I played with them all summer. I think the past two summers I played with them up at Iowa Tech and Ames, so I think I knew how good they were on and off the ball. So I think going into it, I knew exactly what we were getting ourselves into.
Well, both of those girls are so versatile. You know, they can shoot threes and they can also create their own shot off the dribble. You know, I don't think you had to guard either one of them very much, but certainly, you know, they were extremely tough to defend, weren't they?
Oh, definitely. I think they're tough to keep in front. Obviously, they're shifty. They're able to go by anybody that they want. They have a good pull-up, so I think they're three-level scorers. They're definitely hard to defend.
Well, you guys had to devote, you know, so much attention to those two, and then that obviously created some openings for some other kids. Sierra Moore was kind of the wild card for the Wahawks. She went 6 of 9 from the field. She was 3 of 4 from behind the arc, and she finished with 17 points, which was nearly 3 times her average. You know, she was pretty much the difference in the game, don't you think?
I would say for sure. I think we focused really heavily on both their two stars, and, I mean, there's room for other players to make plays, and she stepped up when she needed them to, so that's testament to her, I think.
Well, your team fell behind in the second quarter. You trailed 31-21 at halftime, but you guys made several runs at them in the second half. You were able to close the gap to 3 points late in the third quarter, but then West scored the last 5 points of the period, and they continued to hold you off in the fourth quarter. You know, you guys have been so good at making comebacks in the past. You know, I think back to last year when you erased that 18-point deficit against Roosevelt in the regional final. So I'm sure you thought you could do it again, didn't you?
Definitely. I think the last year, those two games, both for Roosevelt and Southeast Polk, we knew we could come back and knew what we could do, but they had a basket to answer every single one of our runs, so it was good on their part.
Well, Cleo, you ended up going 5 of 14 from three-point range, and your team finished 9 of 29 from behind the arc. You guys took more than half of your shots from three-point range, and that might be the first time, you know, that's ever happened to us for a Centennial team. You know, I'm sure you felt like you guys were going to have to make some threes in order to win, but you probably weren't planning on shooting that many threes, were you?
Definitely not. I think, obviously, I like to shoot when I'm open, but I wasn't planning on taking that many shots, and I wasn't really planning on being open as much as I was.
Well, of course, West, you know, has that huge front line. They got Brooklyn Smith at 6'3" and Moore at 6'1", and Williams is 5'11", but she seems like she plays a lot bigger than that. So that really made it tough for you guys to get the ball inside to Candy Wyatt, and then it was also tough to drive to the basket, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, having all three of those girls all 6'6" and above, I think was really difficult to get the ball in the paint and get it even into Kennedy just because of their size and their strength, but I mean, we found some ways a little bit.
Well, Cleo, you guys, you know, had a lot of great wins this season. When you look back at the year, do you have a favorite memory that sticks out?
Favorite memory, I would say after Sioux City East, I think when our student section stormed the court and us getting the banner and us like celebrating, it was really, that was probably one of my favorite nights of the season. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the semifinal games tomorrow. Waterloo West will now play Valley, which has a really young team but appears to be peaking at the right time. They knocked off number 2 seed Roosevelt on Monday. How do you see that matchup?
I would say at the end of the day, I think Waterloo West, they just have more experience of a team. And then Halley and Sahara obviously are both, they step up in every game. So I think I would take Waterloo West tomorrow in that matchup.
Well, Valley only has one senior, Meredith Reeker, and like you, she is signed to play at Missouri Western next year. Do you know Meredith very well, and have you guys ever played together before?
I do. We played up at Attack. We've played together since the sixth grade, so we know each other pretty well, and it's been really fun to grow up with her, and I'm excited for the next 4 years with her.
Well, the other semifinal game will feature number 1 Johnston against number 4 Pleasant Valley. Now, a lot of people thought that, you know, the tournament was Johnston's to lose before it started, you know, because their closest game all year was a 9-point game against you guys back in December. But Dowling Catholic was able to play them pretty tough on Monday. They ended up losing by 9 as well. Do you think that game showed that, you know, Johnston might be a little vulnerable, or do you think that just shows how good the rest of the league is too?
I think it shows just how good everybody is. I think at this point in the year, all the teams left are good, so it's really anybody's game.
Well, the Dragons are trying to become the first team ever to go undefeated in Class 5A. You know, as we sit here tonight, they need 2 more wins to pull off the feat. You know, do you think they're going to do it?
I think they definitely have the talent for it and the heart. I think I know all those girls, and I played with all them all summer, so I think they'll come through, yeah.
Well, Cleo, I wanted to ask you briefly about next year. You're going to be joining that program at Missouri Western, and I see they're having a good year with a 20-8 record right now. You know, have you had a chance to get down there for any games?
I have not this year, no, but I'm hoping to go down for a few of the tournament games down in Kansas City later this month, but it's all up in the air, but I definitely watch them as much as I can, and they're looking really good.
Well, I noticed on their roster that they have 3 players from Texas, 1 from Alabama, and 1 from New Mexico. You know, so they obviously recruit players from all over, don't they?
They do, yeah. They recruit a lot of good players, a lot of good girls. I'm really excited about the people that I'll get to be with next year.
Well, they do have one Iowan already on the roster in Jordan Cunningham. She's a former Dallas Center Grimes standout. She came in and made an immediate impact last year as a freshman, and she's continued to play a key role this season. You know, I'm sure you're hoping to step right in, next year and contribute as well. It looks like they're a team that likes to use a lot of players. So do you feel like, there's going to be an opportunity for you to get some playing time right away?
I think definitely. I think there's always a chance to step up and contribute in any way possible. So I'm really excited about the opportunity next year to get that chance.
All right, Cleo. Well, hey, you've had a great career. It's been fun to cover your games, and thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the top-ranked Johnston girls team, and he has guided the Dragons to a 24-0 record thus far. His team opened the state tournament on Monday with a 47-38 win over Dowling Catholic, and the Dragons will now play number 4 Pleasant Valley in the semifinals on Thursday. He is Chad Gillick. Chad, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
I'm good. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win over Dowling. I watched that game online, and the Maroons certainly gave you guys all you could handle after losing to your team twice earlier by an average of 24 points. Do you think it was just a matter of Dowling playing that much better, or did you guys maybe struggle a little bit by your standards?
Dowling just came in with a different game plan than we were, probably expecting from them at that time. She, did something that she typically doesn't do on with her team, and just took us a little bit of time to adjust. So, after we adjusted, we handled it pretty well, but, we were expecting, our defense is pretty good, and we knew that they'd have a tough time scoring on us, so... they had to try to do what they could to keep us from getting to the basket and scoring quickly, and they did that. But once we got a lead, it was really hard for them to try to catch up because, we kind of have them scouted pretty well, and we knew what they were going to do offensively, and our kids did a great job of keeping them from getting the basket.
Well, I'm sure the game was a little closer than you would have liked. It ended up being a 9-point game, which matched the closest game that you've had all year, which came against Ankeny Centennial back in December. But maybe having a close game was a good thing for your squad. Do you think maybe that's the case?
Well, definitely. You don't want to go out and, you want to have close games if you want to be the best and you want to get tested. We expected the Dowling. We know Dowling's a good team. We talked to the kids all week about, right? I mean, we were beating them by pretty handily the first two times, but you got to expect that they're going to do whatever they can. They're going to throw some stuff at us, and you got to figure out, how to beat it. And Dowling did that, and we didn't adjust that right away, but we only scored 47, but, I mean, we held the ball for a lot. They weren't guarding us in the second half, so I just basically told our team, I was like, you're up by 8. If they're not going to call them guard you, then just stand, like, you don't have to do anything at this point. They're the ones that have to try to score. So, if we didn't do that, it would be probably would have got a little bit closer to our average.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you talked about their defensive strategy. They really packed the lane. They made it tough for you guys to get the ball inside to Jada Gimphy, who ended up going 3 of 4 from the field. And they really kind of dared one of your guards, Aaliyah Riley, to shoot from the outside. So, yeah, like you said, I'm sure you did take a little while to adjust to that.
Yeah. Aaliyah just was – I mean, she got caught off guard. You could see right away – when she was out there and there's nobody on her, she looked like, well, what do I do? It was kind of like, well, if nobody's going to guard me, I guess I just don't play. I just stand here. And took a little bit of time for us to talk to her, get her out of the game, talked about how she needs to attack that. And then, she ended up scoring 11 points for us. She's our second leading scorer on the night. She figured out what we needed from her to attack it. And once she did that, I think the rest of our team responded too.
Well, I thought Anna Gosling came up big for your team throughout the game, and she finished with 19 points. She really seems to be the glue to your team. Would you agree?
Yeah. She's played for us for 4 years, started for 3 years. 2 years ago when we won the state championship, throughout that whole tournament, she was one of the top five players in that tournament as a sophomore. She averaged like 15 points a game. She was hitting big shots. And I told everybody, I was like, geez, without her, we had Maya McDermott and Kendall Need and these other kids that were going on to play basketball at the Division I level after that. But without Anna Gosling that year, we wouldn't even won that. And, she's now, these last 2 years, been a leader for us. And she takes charge. And, you know, we want her to do as much as she can in the games, and she took control of that in that first half, scored her first 8 points, and, you know, just really what we expected from her.
We talked about winning that 2020 state championship. Of course, last year you guys made it all the way back to the title game before you ran into a buzzsaw in Waukee. And then this year you guys have been ranked number one all season. You know, so there's certainly been some pressure on you guys. And then, of course, because you're still undefeated, you're trying to become the first team ever to complete a perfect season in Class 5A. You know, do you think that's putting any extra pressure on you guys, or are you kind of embracing that quest for perfection?
We've embraced it, but it does put a little bit of pressure on you. You know, we talk to the kids about it, and we talk to them as much as we can about, right, just being loose, just playing basketball, do what you can, don't force things. But it definitely, you know, I mean, you could see that a little bit in our regional final game. You know, another team that we'd beaten by, you know, 30 points the first time we played them, and, you know, when some things just didn't go your way right away in the first half, you get down because you're not hitting shots, and that's always going to happen. You know, you have times where you don't make some shots, and the other team makes some shots, and you get yourself in a little hole, but, you know, facing that type of adversity going into the state tournament, that's exactly what we need. But our kids, they've embraced it. I mean, they talk about it. They don't talk about it a lot. They don't talk about it in a cocky way of, you know, trying to be undefeated. But they do talk about it as they believe that they're the best team in the state, and they believe that they put the work in to win all their games. So they expect it to.
Well, your team played a pretty difficult schedule this season that included games against Roosevelt, Centennial. You had two games each against Southeast Polk and Valley, not to mention a game against Dallas Center Grimes, the number one team in Class 4A. You know, so did it even cross your mind before the season started that you guys, you know, might be able to go all the way through the state tournament unscathed?
I mean, returning what we returned from last year, you know, it goes through your mind, but you don't necessarily think that it's going to happen. You know, you're like, you look at what you got returning, but then you look at our schedule, like you just said. I mean, if you look at some of the power rankings, our schedule is one of the top, not just going undefeated, but with a schedule that's in like the top five, top three, toughest schedules in the state, being able to do that. And that says a little bit more, right, than playing a weak schedule and going 24 and over, being 24 over this time. So, like I said, it's not anything that, you know, you look at it as a coach and like, hey, that'd be really nice, really be a cool thing to be undefeated and be the only team that's ever done that in 5A, but you don't really think it's going to happen just because of the competition we play night in and night out in our conference.
Well, your team will now play Pleasant Valley in the semifinals. The Spartans came back from an 11-point deficit to beat Iowa City High on Monday, and they're now riding a 13-game winning streak. They have a standout player in Haley Vias, who was also part of Pleasant Valley's state championship volleyball team last fall. So what's going to be the key to beating this team?
Well, you know, they play a totally different style than what we see over in the CIML. You know, most solid teams in our conference, the ones that we play, all play man-to-man defense. And Coach Getz, she's been coaching for, 15 years now, a couple state titles at Assumption before she went to PV. And she just plays that 2-1-2, 2-3 zone, and they live and die by that. And, you know, us being able to adjust to something like that you just don't see, you know, that's kind of the big key for us is not turning the ball over against their zone and, you know, getting good shots for us, maybe using Jada a little bit more in the post, you know, to our advantage. And, you know, we also, I think, have the best or the highest three-point field goal percentage in the state for 5A. And, you know, we're going to have to use that to our advantage, too. We're going to have to hit some open shots and tomorrow. But, you know, the biggest key is just handling that their little zone. So,
well, Coach, I'm sure you've been keeping your eye on the opposite side of the bracket, which featured a couple of upsets on Monday when you look at the seedings. Number 7 Valley knocked off number 2 Roosevelt, and number 6 Waterloo West took out number 3 Centennial. So now the Wahawks and Tigers will meet in the other semifinal. How do you see that matchup?
Well, you know, Waterloo West is pretty good. You know, if I was going to put teams in an order, you know, we've kind of, you know, been number 1 all year, but I think Waterloo West has probably been the second-best team in the state all year. They got two. You know, they got two first-team All-State kids. I mean, they got two of the best players in our state. So them, you know, I don't know how much of an upset that was. I think Coach Young's team did a great job. You know, they played great defense, and they kept themselves in that game. But I think Waterloo West is just, they're just really good. It's going to be a tough matchup for Valley. You know, Valley played pretty good defense on Monday, and that 1-3-1 they played was, you know, gave Roosevelt a lot of fits. If they do something similar to that, I could see them staying in the game with Waterloo West, and, you know, but things would really have to fall Valley's way to probably be able to knock them off. But Coach Seegers, he's a good guy, and he knows what he's doing, and they'll be ready.
Well, yeah, that was the first time that I'd seen that Waterloo West team play in person. Boy, I was really impressed with that duo. I think they might be the best duo in the state the way they played.
I mean, I would agree with you. You know, Pook's probably, I mean, if she's not the best point guard, she's one of the best. And, you know, Sahara being at 6 foot and just, you know, physical she is and can shoot and get to the basket. And it's, I mean, they're pretty impressive. And they got a 6 foot, you know, one girl that's going to Omaha too. She's, you know, good in post. Another 6 foot girl on the wing that, you know, they're just tall and big. But, you know, if we're lucky enough to get by PV and Waterloo West wins, I mean, we're kind of lucky in that we will have just faced Pleasant Valley, who plays kind of the same zone defense that Waterloo West plays. And, you know, that gives us a little bit of chance to practice against that and play against that. But, you know, I'm looking at our side first. We talk to our kids. It's going to be a nail biter with us in Pleasant Valley tomorrow. You know, we just hope we come out on top of that.
Well, it's going to be a quick turnaround, you know, for whoever gets to that championship game, because that's going to be on a Friday night. You know, if you guys are able to win tomorrow, would it be easier for you guys preparation-wise if your opponent is Valley, since you've already beaten them twice, as opposed to Waterloo West?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit better just personnel-wise, knowing what each one of their players is able to do and, you know, what they're really good at. But, you know, they've been playing differently here. Over the last month, and the last time we played them, you know, a little more zone, you know, different players and spots more now. And so, you know, from that type of perspective, it's not a big deal. But, you know, after that, nobody gets to prepare really yet. You win that tomorrow night or tomorrow, you really don't have any practice time. There's not a lot of preparation. It's just kind of, you just go out and play basketball at that point. So, you know, I like that way. It's that way for both teams.
Well, you mentioned the possibility of having the Johnston versus Waterloo West matchup. I think that'd be a great one as far as just the amount of talent that would be on the floor in that game would just be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of those kids are teammates. So I think Pook and Williams from Waterloo West, teammates with Jada Jimfrey and Eileen Tankey and Anna Gosling, and so I do get my team in the summer. So a lot of these kids know each other, which is always fun too. So, but that would just be I mean, we played Iowa City High 2 years ago when they had 4 Division I kids on their team, and we had 3 Division I kids on our team. You know, putting 7 out of those 10 players is really high-level kids, and then this would be another similar game to that.
Oh, sure. Well, Coach, I know the Centennial girls were really hoping to get a chance to play you guys in the final, you know, and that obviously didn't work out for them. I thought we might get a rematch of that 2016 title game when the Jaguars knocked off your number one team. And, of course, one of the stars of that Johnston team was Rachel Henders, who is now an assistant here at Centennial for Coach DeYoung. Do you remember much about that game, or have you tried to forget about that one?
I remember a lot about that game. It's actually still on my DVR, you know. When I'm feeling like I need to get kicked in the gut again, I take a look at it and had that feelings come back to me. But it's just, I mean, I would tell anybody, you know, we were the best team in the state that year. We played Centennial a month before that, beating them by 17 pretty handily. And then, you know, but DeYoung does what he does, and he's a great coach. And, you know, they work defensively, and our girls at that point just ended up they didn't react to that very well, and, you know, we ended up losing that game. So, you know, I know that it doesn't matter. We've probably been a little bit better than Centennial over the last 5 years, but every time that we play them, it's a nail biter. I mean, we could be number one, number two, number three. They could be ranked, not ranked, and it's going to go to overtime, or it's going to be a 5-point game. And it's just, you know, it's never easy to beat a Scott DeYoung team just because of the way they play defense.
Oh, for sure. Well, hey, Coach, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. I know you're a busy guy, and good luck tomorrow.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior guard on the Ankeny boys basketball team, and has led the Hawks to a 19-4 record and a berth in next week's Class 4A state tournament. Last night, he scored 20 points as the Hawks defeated Waukee 62-57 in a sub-state final at Dow Center Grimes. He is Ryan Crandall. Ryan, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night, much like that game 2 years ago against Sioux City East in the sub-state final. You know, it certainly wasn't easy. Did you expect the game to be as tough as it turned out to be?
Yeah. You know, watching film, them against Sioux City East, we thought we're gonna end up playing Sioux City East. Honestly, they kind of kicked their butts, and you know, the game we had earlier in the season, we played them. They're a tough young team, and you know, I had lots of confidence going into the game, obviously. And I knew we were going to end up winning it. So,
well, yeah, you guys had posted a 65-58 win at Waukee on January 18th, and you really dominated the boards in that one. But they were able to keep it close by making 12 three-pointers. And then they came back and had 12 three-pointers in that win over Sioux City East in the semifinals. So was that the point of emphasis going into the game, trying to defend the three-point line?
Yeah, it was. We were going to try and run them off the line and make them score at the rim. And to their credit, the first quarter they had the 15 of their 18 points were either twos or free throws, and they had a really good game plan going into that game. Obviously, we adjusted going into the second half and a little bit in the second quarter, but they had a really good game plan, so credit to them.
Well, yeah, they went just 4 of 15 from behind the arc last night, and if you told me that before the game, I wouldn't have thought the game would have been even close. But they got a huge game from Vance Pfeiffer. He was 3 of 4 from three, and he finished with 27 points. Cade Littlefield made his only 3-point attempt, but he did a lot of his damage on drives to the basket. He finished with 19. And both of those guys are gonna be back next year. They're gonna be a load next year, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're gonna be pretty good. That Vance dude, man, I just feel like he didn't miss the whole night, and his 3-point shots were high arcing, just went right in the hoop. So credit to him and Cade, they both played really well. But other than that, the other players weren't really involved. We kind of shut them down.
Oh yeah, for sure. We had their 13 lead changes in the game before you guys went on a run the third quarter to take the lead for good, and then you had to seal the victory at the free throw line down the stretch. Now, you've had some struggles at the line this season. You're shooting a little under 60% for the season. Were you confident that you could go up there and knock them down last night?
I think last night I went 4 for 7. I've had my struggles this season at the line. It's just the routine. I kind of get in my head about the routine, but I practiced the week before. I've been working on that a lot, and I went 4 for 7, so I'm not perfect, but I got the job done. So
we scored a lot of your points last night on some nifty spin moves down the lane. Now, do you know when you're going to make that move, or does it just kind of happen?
So earlier, actually the day before, Coach Toby said I did a spin move in practice, and he said, "Crandall, why don't you do it more often?" And I went into that game like, might as well just keep doing it. I did it, 4 or 5 times, and it worked every single time. So,
sure did. Yeah. Well, after the game, I'm sure you guys were anxious to see which other teams advanced to state. Yeah. When you saw the other sub-state final results, were you surprised by any of the other outcomes?
No, I was. I'm surprised it came out so early. We kind of knew, probably 15, 20 minutes after our game, which I thought they would go to the next day and sit down and discuss the seeds. But, I'm happy where we are. I'm fully confident in us being able to win all three games. So,
well, we'll talk about the state tournament coming up here in just a minute. But the thing that struck me about those other sub-state games last night was how low scoring they were. Yeah. Your game was by far the highest scoring game of all of them. And even though you guys and Waukee both made some big shots, I wouldn't necessarily say that the game was a shootout. I mean, there was some offense, but it wasn't a shootout. But boy, you look at some of those other scores, I'm not surprised that Ames beat Hoover 50-33, because that's kind of the way both those teams play. They're real deliberate, but Cedar Falls and Valley had a 39-36 game, and then Cedar Rapids Prairie beat Hempstead 41-20. That sounds like a halftime score.
Yeah, I know. Some of the teams up east, I feel like, or on the east side of state, they they kind of play that get the best shot every single play, the run through offense, which obviously works in Iowa high school now because we don't have a shot clock. But I was kind of surprised that the Cedar Falls Valley score such a low scoring game. I haven't watched the game yet, but it'd be interesting to see what happened there.
Must have just been a lot of defense, because I wouldn't imagine either one of those teams would slow it down.
Yeah, right? I know. Exactly.
Well, like you said, the state tournament pairings did come out last night, and you guys are seeded 6th, and you'll play third-seeded Johnston in the quarterfinals next Wednesday at 3:45. What was your reaction when you saw that you would be playing Johnston?
My initial reaction was, I guess I don't really remember, honestly. I'm trying to think. I'm happy we are on the opposite side of Ames, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think after I looked at the film a little bit today, we're fully capable of beating them, and we match up with them pretty well. I think, and I have trust in our coaches, we're going to come in with a good game plan and end up winning it. So,
well, I believe you guys came in as the 6th seed 2 years ago, and of course you're able to win the state title. Both you and Braden Simonson played key roles off the bench for that squad. So do you see some similarities between that team and this one?
It's funny you ask, because I was kind of asking myself that last night. We're just two really completely different teams, honestly. You know, that the squad that won 2020, we played small ball. We had five guys on the perimeter, and with this team, we can do both. We can have guy down low, and then we can have five guys on the perimeter, and we're just overall just a completely different team. The senior heavy, that team, and then the only two seniors that really play are me and Simonson. So, you know, two different teams, but we got the job done both years. So,
well, yeah, you guys were able to make it to state, you know, even after losing Alex Aguirre to a broken hand in the regular season finale against North. You know, that shortened your bench just a little bit, but last night Maddox Ward stepped up and he had a nice game off the bench. What adjustments have you guys had to make, you know, after losing Alex?
You know, I was very worried after, you know, we heard that he wasn't going to be able to play the rest of the season. He's probably our best defender, on-ball defender. So, obviously, that worried me a little bit, but Maddox, you know, last night, give credit to him. He did a really good job. I don't think he came out in the fourth quarter. He was doing such a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, he brings the energy right off the bench, and it is really good for us at times with if the starters aren't, you know, getting the right flow of the game. But, you know, shout-out to Maddox. He did a really good job last night.
Well, of course, in order to win the title, you mentioned this earlier, you guys are going to have to win three games in 3 days. And it's really a span of about 51 hours because you guys are going to be playing in that last quarterfinal game on Wednesday. Do you feel like your team has enough depth to be able to handle that load if you're able to keep advancing?
Yeah. I think at this point we're all in pretty good shape. And now we got a week off. You know, we got the rest. We're going to get the rest we need. Yeah, I know it's interesting because when we won the – in 2020, you know, everyone thought that we weren't going to be able to win because of our shape and how we were feeling. But you really don't feel any different each and every game. You know, you kind of go in with the same. If you go in with the same mindset every game, you're not going to get tired. So,
well, I'm sure you have a lot of adrenaline going too, and that can take you a long way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know you guys probably haven't dug into the scouting report too much yet on Johnston, but I did want to break that game down a little bit. Of course, the Dragons are also in the CIML, but you haven't played them since the 2019-20 season when you split a pair of meetings with them. You probably remember those games. You guys came back from 18 or 19 points down to post an 80-74 win at Johnston, but then they later came over to Ankeny and they avenged that loss with a 70-55 win. And they have a couple of guys from that team, Stephen Kramer and Trey Lewis, who are now the stars of that squad. Lewis is averaging 22.3 points, and he's made 56 three-pointers. And I know he's got some ridiculous range because I saw them put up 92 points on Centennial earlier this season. You know, so it's going to be a huge challenge for you guys, isn't it?
It is. You know, I'm excited for it. You know, we've been – Kramer and Lewis, we've been battling it out since when we were young. So it's actually pretty cool to see us all be able to make it to the state tournament and play first round. So, but, yeah, Lewis does have some crazy range and – I'm sure you've seen Kramer's dunks and stuff, but
oh yeah,
you know, I like I said, I have full trust in our coaches and our staff to, you know, have us come out with a really good game plan for both of them.
Yeah, Kramer's a versatile 6'5" guy. He averages 15.3 points and 7.3 rebounds. You know, and he can do a lot of the same things on the court that you can. I imagine the two of you are probably going to see a lot of each other, don't you think?
Yeah, I wish I had the 3 inches so I could be 6'5", but you know.
Well, Johnston's won 8 straight games since losing at Valley on January 28th. The Dragons had a nice win over Waukee Northwest during that stretch, and they also beat number one Ames when the little Cyclones were a little shorthanded. But I imagine they're coming into the state tournament with a lot of confidence because they're really on a roll.
Yeah, for sure. And after what they did last year, they had three really good performances against three really good teams last year. So they're definitely going to be confident. I don't think that Ames game is too big of a deal. Without Taman, I mean,
right.
That win isn't too big in my opinion. But
well, I think Luther didn't play in that game either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, those two are the two best defenders probably in the state, or two of the top defenders in the state. So,
well, if you guys are able to get past Johnston, you would then play number 2 Cedar Falls or number 7 Cedar Rapids Prairie in the semifinals on Thursday. Of course, 2 years ago, you guys came out and just blitzed Cedar Falls in the semifinals with a barrage of 3-pointers. You probably wouldn't mind having a rematch with them, would you?
No, I wouldn't, actually. I think we would definitely match up with them a lot better. I think we're more physical than them. We're definitely faster than them, too. So I think if we could get to that round and play Cedar Falls, I think we'll do the same thing.
Well, you mentioned that you're on the opposite side of the bracket from Ames. They're in the top half, and they're going to open up against Burlington, which upset Pleasant Valley in a sub-state final. Waukee Northwest will play Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the other quarterfinal. You know, so whoever survives that 4-5 matchup would likely get the Little Cyclones in the semifinals. I know a lot of people feel like the tournament is Ames is to lose, but, you know, I could see Northwest or Kennedy, you know, giving them a tough game. Do you expect the Little Cyclones to come out of that half of the bracket?
I'm trying to think. So I don't know much about Burlington at all, so that game is kind of in the air, obviously. Then Kennedy plays Northwest. Don't know much about Kennedy, but I think Northwest will come out that one in. The Northwest Ames game the first time was pretty close, if I can remember. So, you know, yeah, it'll be interesting. It's kind of funny because it might end up being we're all in like the same little conference, and it might be Ames. Waukee Northwest battling out, and then we can go on and face the winner of those two. So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Well, it should be a fun tournament. Looking forward to it. You know, I'm sure you guys are as well. So, hey, good luck down there next week. I'll see you there.
I appreciate it, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had girls basketball coaches Joe Segrist of Valley and Chad Gillick of Johnston. I know both of those guys are busy getting ready for those big games tomorrow, so I appreciate their time. We also had Cleo Murray of the Centennial Girls Squad recapping the Jaguars' appearance in the state tournament earlier this week, as well as Ryan Crandall of the Ankeny Boys team looking ahead to their tournament appearance next week. And we also had Rhonda Dix from Coldwell Banker on. Appreciate her time as well. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll probably wait and see how that first Ankeny tournament game goes with them playing on Wednesday and then possibly Thursday and Friday. It might be kind of difficult to squeeze the podcast in, but we'll see what we can do. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.